So glad you decided to worship with us here at Crystal River Church of God Online, where we want you to find focus for living. You can also connect with us through Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, and make sure to subscribe to our YouTube channel for video messages. Now, an inspiring message from our lead pastor, Ronnie Reed.
Last week, we began a series entitled The Path, and last week, we talked about that direction determines destination. Direction determines destination. Not intention, not hopes, not dreams, but direction determines your destination. And we clearly understand this when it comes to driving, when it comes to walking places. But for some reason, we fail to grasp this principle when it comes to the areas of our life like money and finances and relationships and our walk with God, our education, or whatever the pursuits that we may have. There's a huge disconnect. And we have this disconnect largely because our culture tells us that as long as your intention is good, then you'll wind up in a good place. How many has, through life, has realized that just is not true? That you can have the greatest intention, but if your direction doesn't line up with your intention, then you will wind up at a place that you did not expect or want to be in. We often wonder when we get to that place after that we did not want to be at, we ask, how did this happen? And if we really want to know, it is because the path that you chose led you to that place. Because all paths lead somewhere, even if it's nowhere. How many knows that nowhere is somewhere? That it leads somewhere. So direction, not intention, determines destination. Here's another way to think about it before I get started on today's. If you go to a door, and it happens all the time, when I'm in a foreign country, it happens more. Because I get confused the Spanish for exit and or pull or push. And if you go to a door that you're supposed to push and you try to pull it, you're not going to get to the destination. You know, unless you're strong enough to pull it slap out or slap off, you're not going to get there. But that's what many of us do, is we're pushing when we should be pulling, or we're pulling when we should be pushing, because direction means something. So understand that the principle that we're talking about is direction determines destination. Now today, I want to talk about the principle of looking ahead. Because how many understand that hindsight is 20/20? So today I want to talk about looking ahead in Proverbs 12 or 27:12. I'm going to use one verse of scripture and I'm going to try to condense all I've got to say down a little bit. But here's what it says. A prudent man sees evil and hides himself. The naive, one translation said, the simple proceed and pays the cost. They pay the penalty. What does that simply mean? Putting it in just regular vernacular is that when a wise man sees evil and hides himself, quits doing what he was doing or changes direction, but the naive, the simple, or if you want to go real street, the stupid, proceed and pay the penalty. Now, how do you know, though, what path to take? How do you know what path to take regarding who we marry? Boy, isn't that scary? And if I get a question, I get that one all the time. I've got one young man, and he's 25 or 26 years old. And if he asks me once, he asks me five times a month, how will I know when the right girl comes along? And my answer is almost the same every time. I don't know. Then the next question of his is, when will the right girl? I don't know. I don't know that question. But how do we know what path to take regarding our career? How do we know what path to take regarding our finances? What path to take in any area of our life? Because if we're honest, we've all ended up in a destination that we didn't want to be in. And we all ended up in a place that we find ourselves in a compromised situation. So how do we, Pastor, avoid these wrong paths in all of these areas? Looking back, some of us saw warning signs. We just chose to ignore them. But it doesn't have to be like that. You see, by looking back at this biblical-based principle, that we can negotiate life, we can navigate life, and we can get to the place that where we want to be. But we've got to recognize that direction determines that. Have you ever talked to it with a friend who is trying to figure out how they've got so deep in a hole that they've dug themselves, whether it be financially, relationally, or whatever the case is, and they just feel like that they're stuck and there's no way out. And every time you can ask, as a matter of fact, if every time a tragedy happens, the young girl, and we thank God that she was rescued, the young girl that was, 13 years old up in Wisconsin that stole the girl. And I'm telling you, you folks from Wisconsin and Maine, y'all need to get into the city or something, because there's too much going on out there. There's stuff happening in your mind. So, but the question is asked every time, were there any warning signs? Think about it. Any mass shooting, any mass situation that happens, they always ask, the news media always ask, were there any warning signs? And normally they would say no or yes, but we miss them. Most of us, when we wind up where we are, we look back and say, I should have noticed this. I should have not taken that turn. We ignored the warning signs. We didn't listen to the advice we got, or we thought it'll work itself out. Maybe the person we're talking about is us. I know I've looked back over my life and some of the places I've wound it up. I thought, why did I do this? And I look back and I begin to take stock in what I did and what I didn't do, what I listened to and what I didn't listen to. I mean, everybody in this place, the Bible said all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We have found ourselves and we wondered, why did we succumb to that sin? Why did we do that? Well, it just happened. No, it isn't. No, it didn't. The devil set you up. You didn't see the warning signs, or you ignored them and moved forward. So one way that we head off this, keep this from happening, is by heeding wisdom found in Proverbs 12 or 27:12. The prudent see danger and take refuge, but the simple keep going and suffer for it. So point number one is this. Let's look at the principle. The principle, first of all, we all see that this verse describes two kinds of people. Two responses with two outcomes from facing the same situation. What they have in common is that there were things on the path that hinted to the danger. Let's talk about the prudent person. That's what I want to be. I didn't say the prude. I said the prudent person, which also means the wise. Prudent means wise. See, the wise person understands that life is connected, that there are consequences to our actions. See, that's the problem with society now. We think we can do whatever we want to do without consequences, but there are consequences to every decision that you make, every choice that you make. There is a consequence. Some of the consequences are small, some of the consequences are insignificant, but some of the consequences are catastrophic because the choice was a catastrophic decision. The choice, the direction, it led you down a path. You know, you've got to understand, though, that it is all connected, that there is a cause and effect. You've got to recognize that the prudent sees the danger and changes the ways. A wise person asks this question: in light of my past experiences, my future hopes and dreams, what's the wise thing for me to do? They understand that what they do today will affect tomorrow. And the good or bad, whatever I do, the decisions I make today, what I eat today is going to affect my tomorrow. You know, you can't. There's a cause and effect. There is good. There is consequences to our actions. They know that one thing will lead to another. You know, I tell people all the time, especially those who are not married, that you've got to be careful when you pray together. Oh, I'm going to go over to their house and pray. Oh yeah, you better be careful, because praying is one of the most intimate things that a couple can do together. It brings you together. And so you've got to be careful. Well, I don't know how we wound up in the bed, Pastor. Oh, I do. You started laying your hands on each other. Praying, intimacy came in. And the next thing you know, you was kissing instead of praying. And you say, well, we were Pentecostal. We were using our tongues. And so therefore, then the next thing you know, you wind up in the bed and didn't know how you got there. Come on, somebody. Oh, don't act like you ain't ever been there. But that's what the simple person does. Because the simple means naive. The naive person thinks that life is disconnected. The naive person thinks that I'll do whatever I want and it's all going to be okay. You see, today is about today and tomorrow is about tomorrow, and they're not connected. The naive person lives for the moment instead of what's coming down the pike. You know, what's the old saying? Once through the lips, forever on the hips. You know, you got to recognize, man. You know, I know a single guy. He would say, well, I'll tell you right now, if that was my wife, here's what I would do. And I'd go, that's why you're single. Because if it was your wife, she'd kill you. Amen. You got to recognize, man, that it is all connected. Every man in here knows that if we mess up today, that we still got to pay for it at some point in time. Uh-huh. Yes, sir. And every woman in here knows that if they mess up, men will forget about it. But women will not. They remember what you did, what you was wearing when you did, what you smelled like when you did it. They don't forget that stuff. But somehow the simple person, they have an intention intention A, but be on path B, and think that path B will somehow lead them to destination A. And it just doesn't happen. And we do it time and time again. Well, I don't know how I got here. Oh, well, you know, a prudent person can tell you. But here's the test of the simple. No one admits to being simple or naive. But here's the test. Here's the test. Nobody goes, oh, yeah, I'm simple. No, but here's the test. Maybe you hear what I'm saying and you feel somewhat convicted by it, but you think, wow, this message is for me. I shouldn't really drink so much. I really shouldn't keep buying so many things I can't afford. I should break off that unhealthy relationship. So you feel genuine conviction and think how great it is that the Holy Spirit is finally speaking to you. Man, this is what I love about this church. Is it just feels like he's in. You know, have you ever been here and you're like, man, is he talking to anybody else but me? Is the message. How was he in my living room? They must have some kind of a speaker system or some kind of spy system in my house. Well, that's great. I'm happy about that. However, but what good is that conviction if you leave the service and continue doing what you've always done? That's the simple person. That the Holy Spirit convicts you. Oh, that was church. And church is disconnected from life. I come to church on Sunday to show him that I love him. However, I live like the devil from the rest of the time. That's disconnection, man. You see, although you've been alerted to the danger, you keep going. You don't take action to avoid it. That's the simple. We are naive. We suffer for it. The prudent see the danger and they do something about it. The simple see the danger, may even be convicted, and they know they ought to do something, But they just keep going. The simple always suffer harm. Why? Here's why. Because there are certain issues that an individual cannot deal with successfully once they pass a certain point. Well, it got quiet then, didn't it? Are you telling me there's no hope? That's not what I said. I didn't say that. But I said that there are certain things, certain issues that an individual cannot deal with successfully once it passes a certain point. Let me give you a case in point really quick. That, you know, finally, a married couple, finally they having marital trouble. And all of a sudden, the one that hasn't wanted to get help, okay, I want to get help. But the other one's been after them to get help for 15 years. And now the other one is done. Pastor Steve and I see it all the time. I've been doing this 30 years, and I've seen it for 30 years. That once one finally gets ready to do something, the other one's done. I'm over it. Well, come on, let's talk. No, now you want to talk. Now that I'm going to take half of what you got, now you want to talk. Hey, marriage is grand, but divorce is 100 grand. The simple or naive are like the man on a raft who hears a waterfall ahead and says, that's way up there. I'll deal with it when I get there. They read a big sign posted on the side of the river that says, danger, waterfall in 300 yards. But they think to themselves, I have 300 yards. Then before you know it, they're hurling down Niagara Falls. There are some points of no return. It's too late. The simple keep going and suffer for it. Let's talk about a financial decision. You put all your purchases on a credit card, and so you didn't seem like you were spending money. Oh, this ain't real money. This is just credit card debt. You get the credit card statement every month and could clearly see the debt growing, but you chose not to do anything about it. You kept saying, charge! And you wonder, you didn't see the warning signs as the debt kept going up and up and up, and you would make your minimum payment, which now is barely the interest. Eventually, you'll go bankrupt, and literally, then you got to cut up your credit cards. But if you'd have cut them up before, well, but then I couldn't have lived. You should have cut up the cards before you went so deep in debt. Should you have done this, but instead you did nothing. That's the test of the simple. The simple keep going. How about a relationship? Girl was in a relationship that she knew was unhealthy. She felt convicted about engaging in certain behaviors with this guy that she loved. Behaviors she knew was contrary to the Word of God. Now, I want to make sure that you hear that. This is not contrary to our church. I had somebody tell me that. Well, Pastor, I know that you don't like us to do this because it's contrary to the church. No, baby, it's the Word of God. And it's not because God didn't want you to have fun. No, he wanted you to have joy. Good preaching, Pastor. So she didn't heed the warning signs and ended up getting pregnant. Once she got pregnant, he flew the coop. The simple keep going and suffer for it. There are situations that if left unattended become so complicated that there are no good options left. You know, that's what happens. You know, people periodically will come to us when they have gangrene. Not when they have an infection. Oh, yeah, man. You know, well, Pastor, we don't go to that married life thing. That's for people who are having trouble in their marriage. No! But yes! But no! What do you mean? You're confusing me. No, it's for people who are having trouble, but it's also for people who have good marriage or that are just trying to keep it good. I don't know about you, but I have to cut my yard a lot and I have to weed a lot. Well, I don't have to because I don't. I just let the weeds grow. Are you listening to me? If I do nothing, weeds grow. If you do nothing in your marriage, weeds grow. But if you prune them, it'll keep them going. Good preaching, Pastor. Well, Pastor, I'm glad I'm past that. All right, let me talk to the 65-year-olds. When we were young, and I'm not 65, but I'm looking over at it. People advised us to invest money, told us to consider, quit spending extravagantly, put up for your retirement. Oh, I'm young, I got plenty of time. And now you can't retire because you didn't have enough savings. Oh, this is the one I love. Don't be offended. I'm not thinking of anybody. Well, yeah, I am, but they don't go to our church. The person who always is paid under the table. Never do taxes. Now you're retired, and your retirement is $500 a month. The simple keep going and suffer for it. And then you blame God. How could God let this happen? It's your fault. It's the direction you chose. Well, but you know how much taxes they take out if I go the normal route? Yes, I do. I know exactly how much they take. My youngest daughter, she got her first paycheck back in April, and she was like, oh my goodness, Dad, somebody robbed me. I said, yes, call the government. And everybody else that refuses to work. But let me move on. We're in this fix because we violated God's principle. Now, how many knows that there's a difference between a principle and a commandment? A commandment God gives you, and you are to do it. But the principle works whether you are saved or whether you're unsaved. And this path principle works if you are saved, if you're not saved, if you're Catholic, if you're Methodist, Lutheran, Episcopalian, heathen, Pentecostal, Baptist, whatever. It is the principle that you wind up at the road. If you keep going on that road, there is a destination, and everybody who gets on that same road is going to go to that same destination. When we violate one of God's principles, that's when we see danger coming. We should do something about it, not keep going in the same direction. Why? Because direction determines our destination. How about an addiction? We could go on and on and on. You know, well, Pastor, you know, once we're addicted, it's not time to think, I really should be more disciplined. No, you should be more disciplined before you ever get addicted. Probably the two areas where the principle is most relevant and most important is the area of finances and relationships. If we start to view our finances and our relationships through the lens of this principle, it could radically change our situation. Regarding relationships, we should never, hear me closely, we should never evaluate our relationships based on where it is, but based on where it's going. Because where it is might be good, but where it's headed is not that good. Relationships are dynamic. They're always moving. They're either getting healthier or unhealthy. They're either getting better or not getting. They're growing or they're dying. The prudent person doesn't respond to the relationship, is he or she responds to where it is heading. That's why, you know, matter of fact, I had one of our youth, and I was so glad to hear him say this. The youth came to talk to me one day, and he's about a 16, 17-year-old young man, and he was talking to me one night, matter of fact, and he goes, I know that you don't approve of this, and he told me what I don't approve of, and I go, you're right. I'm glad you're listening. At least he knows what I approve of and what I don't approve of. But here's the deal, guys. You know, and I know people get upset about this, but why would you even date somebody who is not going in the same direction that you're going? I don't understand that. Where are you going? I'm going to Tampa. Where are you going? I'm going to Gainesville. Okay. What that means is where you were headed was not that important to you. Where are you headed? I'm headed for a Christian, godly relationship. Well, not me. Well, it's okay. We'll walk together. No, you're not. Somebody's going to have to take the lead. Somebody's going to take charge. Somebody is going to veer one way or the other because you're not headed in the same direction. If you are in a marriage and you start enjoying the company of someone of the opposite sex in the office, where is that going? Or maybe the same sex, according to your... If you're single and that married guy or that married girl sort of coming on to you and you like it, where is that going? Well, it's not going anywhere. I've put up boundaries. I'm just going to let it get to right here. No, you're not. No, you're not. Do something to stop it. If you're dating someone and your boyfriend or girlfriend starts to pressure you into behavior that you know is contrary to the word of God, where God is leading you, you need to do something. Because these are all paths. Does that make sense to everybody? These are paths, and all these paths are taking us to a destination where, believe me, you don't want to end up. In all these cases, the something you need to do is to get off that path. Well, Pastor, I don't know what to do. Get off the path. Stop the merry-go-round. You know, I love the little story that it goes around on Facebook sometimes about the person who decided to go riding. And they hadn't been riding in a long time, but the horse started going a little faster than they were normal, and they fell off the horse, and the horse kept going, and it was dragging him with the stirrup. But thankfully, the manager of the store came out and unplugged the little horse. Some of y'all need to unplug the horse, baby. Some of y'all need to get to that point. It's to change direction because direction determines destination. If we are prudent, we will see the dangers these situations present and we'll do something about it, which is getting off that path. The same principle applies to our finances. No one intends to be in debt. No one has hopes and dreams. Oh, what is your dreams and hopes? My dreams and hopes are to be over my head in debt. I married a couple yesterday, and you know, as I was doing premarital counseling with them, I asked them about their debts, and I was surprised for them to say, well, you know what, we just want to be in debt. No, they didn't say that because that's stupid. That's the simple. You go, well, Pastor, I'm not that stupid. Well, then get off the path that you're on. No one has hopes and dreams of doing that. No one fervent prayer requests, God, please let me be in debt. God, help me to be in debt one day. Our intent is to have savings. Our hope is to be financially free. Our dream is to retire early. Right? Everybody in here? Everybody want to retire early? Somebody goes, I don't want to retire. Oh, good. Good for you. I don't want to retire, but I'd surely like to have enough money that I could if I wanted to. Come on, somebody. But what are you doing about it? If your path that you're on is all about leveraging debt to afford a particular lifestyle, that goes somewhere. Because you know, this is the American dream. We owe on cars to impress people we don't even know. And we buy furniture and houses to impress our friends. We drive on roads that are financed. It just goes crazy. And we do all this to impress people we'll never see. If you're on that path, you got to get off of it. Consumer debt, listen to me closely. Consumer debt is not a sudden event. Consumer debt goes, oh, I didn't know that was coming. No, every time you charge it, it's coming. It's a destination. As we embark on the path, when we try to live beyond our means, when we keep spending at the same level, even though our income has fallen. You know, back in 08, the income, remember the fall? And you know, and then Duke Energy left. Man, you know, some straps had to be tightened. Some boots and some belts had to be tightened. When we move into a house that we really can't afford, when we buy a more expensive car than we really need or can afford, the prudent will see the warning signs of imminent consumer debt and do something about it. They will cut back on their spending. They will downsize their houses. They will do without the next suit or shoes or whatever. I'm going to get some people right here. They will do without having their nails done. I'm going to let that one sink in. I'm not going to make eye contact with anybody up in here yet. They will do without their coffee from Dunkin' Donuts every morning. Hey, that's a budget item on my bills. Y'all think I'm kidding. I budget it in there. The naive will see the same warning signs and do nothing, and they will suffer crushing debt because of it. Whew. Point number two. The dynamics of Proverbs 27:12 principle. I got three of them for you. If we want to avoid these problems in our finances, in our relationship, in every area of our lives, then we want to put into practice the principle of Proverbs 27:12. And there are three dynamics that we need to consider. Number one is action. The first dynamic is one of action. You have to do something. You have to make some changes. The prudent see danger and hide from it. They do something. They don't just keep going. Now, when I say hide from it, I know some people go, well, I've tried to hide from my debts. No, I'm not talking about that. The prudent said that I see the danger, but I got away from it. I hid myself on the road or whatever. They see the danger. When you see the danger, you got to do something about it. You have to end that relationship. Well, I'm married. Well, then you need to come see me and Pastor Steve first. We might can help you with that. But you got to do something. If your relationship is bad, then you can't just keep going straight. Listen. If that relationship, you know, listen, I know what I'm talking about here because I dated a girl, you know, I dated a girl before Sherry. And I remember telling my sister when I was comparing the two, one made me want to live for the Lord and the other one made me want to stick my head in the fire because she made me stupid crazy. Really, I want to stick her head in the fire. But she made me want to live like the devil. So which one should I go? Well, the devil's more fun. For a season. It will lead you. You know, I get these gals, you know, well, I tell you, I like the strong, silent type. And then they get married and they say, he'll never talks. I thought you said you liked it. I like the bad boy. Well, yeah, bad boy. He cheats around on you. How bad is it now? Yeah. Come on, somebody. Anybody getting this? Am I helping anybody? You know, if you may have to end that relationship. You may have to have the hard conversation. You have to limit your time on the internet. You have to downsize. You have to sell something. You have to get a new job. When the prudent see danger, they don't just, here's the Pentecostal way, we're just going to pray. No, you got to do more than just pray. They don't just think about it. They don't merely reflect on it. They do something. Most of the time when you pray, God requires some kind of action. If you want it, we just want God, abracadabra, get me out. But God doesn't do that. What are you willing to do? Well, nothing. I don't have to. I'm a Christian. You're all so simple. They do something. Number two, second dynamic involved in this principle is a dirty word, is sacrifice. Sacrifice. You have to give something up, and sacrifice is really difficult for us because it is counter-culture. Because the society has made it so easy that we don't have to sacrifice until the end. That I get a that my feelings are very important. Well, you need to quit being so feely. We live in a culture of acquisition and materialism, of consumerism. We are predisposed to want the latest and the greatest. My oldest daughter just bought her a new cell phone. And I thought I wanted one until I saw the price. I said, oh, my old six is okay. Forget the 55-inch now, and we want the 70 and 80-inch. They have a 90-inch TV. Who's got a wall with 90 inches? I'd have to move my children out. Forget the new wardrobe we bought last year. Let's buy the hottest, most fashionable clothes out right now. And listen, no, I'm not going to get started on that. In addition, our culture pushes us to keep up with the Johnsons. Or the Joneses. Or whomever. We buy stuff that we can't afford. That's the American way. So sacrifice, doing without, is really, really hard for us to do. Now, this is a trick question. Don't raise your hand. How many of us like to sacrifice? See, some of you are like, yeah, I like sacrificing. Yeah, you're one in a million. Nobody really likes to sacrifice. I haven't had ice cream in 14 days. I'm a little mean right now. You feel me, don't you? Yeah. I haven't had anything sweet other than the lips of my wife. I'm going to use that in the 11 o'clock. Yeah, I'm going to use that. She'll be here for then. Matter of fact, when she's here, I'm going to go, I'm a little sugar overload. Come on. Somebody. Yeah, that's right. You got to know, girl. Shoot. But nobody likes that. Nobody likes sacrifice. I need some red meat. I'm not vegetarian. I'm meatitarian. Sacrifice is required if we are going to be the prudent. Sacrifice is required. And it's not always material sacrifice that is required of us. We may have to sacrifice a romantic relationship. We may have to sacrifice a friendship. We may have to sacrifice an enjoyable habit. We may have to sacrifice an educational goal. When the prudent see danger, they act. And it almost always requires some kind of sacrifice. Let me tell you something. If you're going to be a good husband, it requires sacrifice. You don't get to do everything you wanted to do. You know, yesterday, I had a wedding to go to, and my wife and them had a craft show that they were going to. Thank God for this wedding. And so I didn't have to go to the craft show. And my children went, and I woke up yesterday morning, and man, it was just incredible. Everybody was out of the house, and I decided to lay in my bed another 45 minutes. I sat there and I grabbed my iPad and I did some study and I did some devotion. I did some Bible reading and then I fell back asleep and then I got back up and then I went and got me a Dunkin' Donut coffee and went and come back home and I put my feet up in my recliner and I began to watch and then it got a little time for me to go to the wedding. So I went to get dressed and got ready to go out of the house and I seen that my wife left me a list of stuff to do. I said, it would have really been good to see this before now that I'm dressed in my suit about to walk out the door. So you know what I did. I walked out the door. I had a wedding to do. But when I came back, I got everything done before she got back. Because that's sacrifice. So I sacrificed my time I could have been on my recliner. I sacrificed the time I could have been in my Chase lounger. I've sacrificed the time I wanted to put on my elastic and just chill. Right? But that's what men do, right? That's what women do. everybody, if the prudent sees danger, they act, and it almost always requires sacrifice. Number three, and I'm almost done. The third dynamic involved in Proverbs 27 and 12 principle is relief. Sweet relief. After I sacrificed yesterday, my wife came home, and I was relief. Because when she came home, she goes, "Oh, baby, you got my list done." I go, "Yeah, I did. It would have been better if you'd have put it on top of my stuff instead of on the bottom when I left." And she was happy, and I was relieved that she was happy. Because everybody knows that a happy wife, happy life. If we follow this principle, if we take action, if we sacrifice, then we'll be able to experience relief. Dave Ramsey says something about finances. I love what he says. Let me rephrase that. I hate what he says, but I love what he says. He says that if you sacrifice now and live like nobody lives, that when you get older, you'll be able to live like nobody lives. That's really good work. You know, in raising children, there are a few things that I feel like that I've done a good job at. I think I've done a good job raising my kids. I think I'm a pretty good father. But doing so means sacrifice. Do you realize that it is easier in the beginning just to let your kids run wild? But it's not later. But if you will do the action, the sacrifice, when they get older, it's a relief because they make you proud. You know, if when people come to your house and you have to put everything up, that's no life. Well, wait till you have grandchildren. My grandchildren are going to see. I am not putting all my knickknacks up, or let me refer, all my wife's knickknacks up. I will put a knick-knack paddywhack up on your head is what I'll do. Pastor, no, I'm just being, this is real life stuff, all right? This is real life. If you'll sacrifice, I remember being at family gatherings and my brothers and sister kids running wild. And my kids looking at me, "Dad, they're doing it. They're not my kids. I can't kill them legally. You're not going to do it." And now some of those same kids, be careful when in the 11 o'clock when we're live streaming this and some of my siblings are watching. And now some of those same kids strung out on drugs. Broken, busted relationships. You get the relief. Man, I want the relief. You'll be able to look back on the day when you took action, sacrificed, and see that it was a day you got off a path that was leading to destruction. Financial paths, I'm done. God, I got to quit. I remember when I was on that path. We had just had Lauren. I was pastor of this church. I was looking to see what I could do as a second job because I had to get off that path. And I began to cut things and slash things and quit doing some things we were doing. Look at my wife and say, "You can't go shopping this week." Or, "Here's cash," or whatever the case is. I had to do something. Can I go one step further? I remember when I was the pastor of this church and Sharon and our relationship wasn't where it needed to be. And if we kept going down the path that we were going, I could see where it was headed. Pastor, see, I'm not just preaching something, some things I don't know about, something I read in a book. But I had to get off the path that I was on and change the path in order to save my marriage. I prayed. I saw it, but I had to take action. I had to change some things I was doing. Some changing some things I was responding. And you know what? I tell this all the time. I prayed and prayed for her. Because I'm the pastor. I pray, man. I'm being for real. I prayed. And the Lord said, I'll never forget it. I'm talking about, look back on the day. I'll never forget it when the Lord said, why don't you pray for yourself? And I told God, because he didn't know, that I wasn't the problem. She was. And I began to pray for myself. And she got better. I'm for real, man. Because God started showing things in me that needed to change. And all of a sudden, my change activated change on her. And guess what happened? Relief. To God be the glory. I bind the devil in the name of Jesus, but our marriage is better than it's ever been. That was over 24 years ago. 23 years ago. Relief comes. And when it does, you'll breathe a sigh of relief. So let me ask you. While I've been talking about the path, have you thought about the path that you're on? Have you thought about where the path that you're on is taking you and whether you want to go down that path or not? When you leave here, will you do something about it or will you just keep going? It's one thing for you to respond to an altar here. It's one thing for you to go, you know, raise your hand. Yeah, I'm going to change. But what are you going to do when you leave here? Because when we're at church, most of us, not everybody, most of us are on our best behavior. We're at church. How many? Don't point at them if they're here. But how many of you seen people get out of the car fussing and fighting, and as soon as they hit the first greeter, hey, how are you doing? Welcome. Oh, I'm just so blessed I can't be stressed. Hallelujah. Oh, I just can't wait to worship the Lord. Husband walking 5 feet behind him. You done kicked the dog 4 times before you got out of the house. You wanted to kick the wife, but you knew that she'd beat you up, so you kicked the dog. That's just real life, guys. What are you going to do when you leave here? Will you do something about it, or will you keep going? Will you be the prudent, or will you be the simple? Because if you just keep going, you will suffer from it. When I woke up this morning and I began to pray about today's message, I said, God, help us to be honest with ourselves. Where do you see trouble coming relationally? What are you going to do about it? Where do you see trouble coming in your finances? What are you going to do about it? Simply pray, after all. Isn't prayer the spiritual response? Not always. It's always a response, but it's not always the right response. Prayer, yes, but coupled with action. Let me ask you this. Those of you who have been married, and I'm going to do it to Steve, and just recognize that Steve is not my wife, and I am not his. But how many of you have ever had a fight, Christian couple, and you started praying, Lord, in the name of Jesus? There's going to be some fist fight then. No, you got to do something about it. You can't just pray. You got to do something. Action. Don't lay your hands on what to kick you in your shin. Better lay hands on yourself. When God told Noah that he was going to destroy all humankind, he did something. He responded by praying for God to change his mind. Did Noah simply keep on going? No, he started building an ark. When Israel was surrounded by its enemies, did David just merely pray that the Lord would remove them? No, David did pray, but he took action and went out to battle. If Noah hadn't have taken action, he would have suffered harm. In fact, Noah hadn't, if Noah hadn't built the ark, we might not be here. If David hadn't taken action, he would have suffered harm. Not only did David and his men, but the entire nation of Israel would have been destroyed by the enemies. The prudent see danger and take refuge. But the simple keep going and suffer for it. I want you to stand to your feet today. I want you to hear me. If you haven't heard anything else I've said today, the prudent see danger and take refuge, but the simple keep going and suffer for it. If you don't know Jesus, if you have not asked Him to come into your life, forgive you of your sins, the end result is you're headed for hell. Well, that's kind of blunt, Pastor. Yeah, it is. It is. But that's reality. Jesus loves me too. You're headed for hell if you don't ask Him to come into your life. But the prudent see danger, they take refuge. How can I take refuge from hell, Pastor? By asking Him to come into your life. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father except but by me. Now, with every head bowed, every eye closed, if you don't know Jesus, but you want to, come on, lift your hand, and I want to pray a prayer with you. Anybody in this room?
Thank you for joining us today. We hope you are blessed by listening to this message and invite you to join us at our Crystal River campus. We meet for service on Sundays at 8:30 a.m. and 11 a.m. Our midweek service and youth service is on Wednesday night at 7 p.m. We're located at 2180 Northwest 12th Avenue in Crystal River, Florida.